and Ecclesiastes chapter 7 on the value of wisdom. And for sake of time, look with me at verse number 19. The Bible says, "Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city." Wisdom strengtheneth the wise. And as we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon has turned a corner, and now maybe permanently, as we study this book, and not looking at things under the sun, but now looking at things above the sun, now taking a more eternal view. And this chapter in Ecclesiastes 7 is really about wisdom. And Solomon is teaching you and I that if we have the wisdom of God, it really leads to a breakthrough in every area of our life. And Solomon is pleading with us to understand that more than anything, you and I need the wisdom of God. We need His understanding. We need His view on the circumstances of our life. Because without the wisdom of God, it is certain that life will be more complicated than God designed it to be. Sometimes we can make a mess out of some things, and God doesn't want you and I to lean to our own understanding, but rather He wants you and I to trust Him and to lean on His wisdom. And we need to seek God's wisdom and apply it in every day of our life. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." And we want to do all that we can to seek the wisdom of the Lord. There's great value in that. In fact, in Ecclesiastes 7, wisdom is referenced 12 times. And the word better is used 8 times. So here's a matrix. If we will find and live by the wisdom of God, life is better. It's certainly a simple life. And I think this entire chapter and our entire study together this morning could be summarized in this sentence. Wisdom clarifies my priorities, what's important, stabilizes my heart, what am I supposed to be focusing on, and sustains my pace. What is the rhythm in which God wants me living these things out in my life? And so we want to be seeking God's wisdom and applying it to our heart and to our life. And when we think about God's wisdom and His perspective, there's a combination of three things, and these are in your notes. First of all, there's knowledge. What is knowledge? That is knowing what is true. Now, by the way, where do we discover truth? The Bible. Right? So we want to have a relationship with the Word of God so that we have knowledge, and that is what is true. Then there's insight. That is seeing how truth impacts your circumstances. We want biblical insight. We want discernment into these areas of our life. And then there is understanding. Now, what is understanding? Understanding is putting truth and insight into action. And so it's important that we know God's wisdom. But Solomon is saying it's not enough just to know it. You've got to know it, you've got to understand it, and then you have to implement it, okay? You've got to know when to use it in your everyday life and decision making. And so there's great value in seeking God's wisdom and implementing it in your life. And it's the combination of all three: knowledge, insight, and understanding. Knowledge to lead us to what is right, the insight to understand it, the understanding of when to use it will lead us to breakthrough in the decisions that we make. And so we want to make sure that we're seeking God's wisdom. Now, wisdom is the ability to make decisions knowing what God knows, okay? And we don't have God's mind. We don't know everything that God knows, but we have God's Word. And so we can have God's mind as we spend time in His Word, and then that can take place in our heart and help you and I with the decisions that we make. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." So we want a relationship with the Word of God. We want it dwelling within us richly to the tune of all the wisdom that God would give you and I. Now, here's the problem with God's wisdom. It runs counterintuitively to our human nature. When you and I are in tune with the wisdom of God, you know what it tells us sometimes? That we're wrong. And we have to be okay with that. We have to be willing to come to God and spend time in His Word and understand that there's going to be times where God says, "Gabe, don't do that. Or that's not the right way to handle that. Or you should have done it this way." And so I have to be able to ask myself, am I willing to let God correct me? Am I willing to be reproved by the wisdom of God? Am I willing to allow God to point out areas in my life where I am wrong? And here's the problem. Sometimes we want a God who agrees with us in every area of life. We want God kind of down to our level and just affirming what it is that we want to do. And that's not God's intention. God is God, and we are His creation, and we want to give Him lordship and authority. And as we seek His wisdom, we want to be shaped to His image, not having Him just conform to what it is we want. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right, okay? For instruction, for correction, rather, that's how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to keep it right. So as you and I get into the Word of God and we glean from God's wisdom, we're going to learn some things that we need to adjust or that we need to change. And a wise man yields to the wisdom of God. He has no problem being told these things from the Lord. He recognizes God's rightful place in his life. Now, as we come to Ecclesiastes 7, and Solomon taking some time to inspire us to know and to live by the wisdom of God, in this chapter he kind of runs through 8 qualities of this wisdom and what he sees from his vantage point. And I want you and I to kind of take this journey with him and ask the Lord for us to grow in wisdom as well. So let's see, as we think about valuing wisdom, number one, that wisdom sees farther. Wisdom sees farther. Now you have Ecclesiastes 7 open, Lord willing. Let's look together at verse number 1. The Bible says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Now, everyone in this room has a birthday. You have a day in which you celebrate your birth, and we recognize those even in class. According to the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So we all have a birth date, but the Bible says we all have a death date as well. Now, we don't know what that day is. Hopefully, it's a long, 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 long time from now, right? And it may not even come if we hear the trumpet sound and just go from here to be with the Lord. That would be pretty cool as well. But we understand in the Bible that there is a birth date, and if the Lord tarries his coming, there is a death date. And the substance of our life in between is what we are known by. That dash on the grave marker represents our life and everything accomplished in it. And Solomon says, listen, a good name is more valuable on the day of your death than on the day of your birth if your life is lived properly, if it's lived in wisdom. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And so wisdom considers the end from the beginning. So wisdom sees farther. It's not living in the immediate. It's not living for the now. It's thinking about the end of a thing. And wisdom desires that the celebration of one's life would be greater than the celebration of their birth. And so when we think about our life and we think about the need to be in the Word of God, to have the wisdom of God, when we are living according to the wisdom of God, we're living with the end in mind. The life that I'm living right now, how does it impact my future and legacy? How does it impact my children, if God has blessed us with children? The adjustment we're thinking about making right now, what would that look like 5 years from now? How would that impact our life and our family? Wisdom is always seeing further. They're considering an end of a thing. They're understanding the importance of one's death and one's birth. What's happening in between is important to the wise. And so wisdom sees further. In class, may you and I be very, very careful not to get caught up in what's happening right now in the sense of this decision will help me today, or it will make today more convenient, or, you know, everybody else is kind of doing it and I think I want to do it as well. Think further. Think further. Why were we doing it this way? If we change, what does that look like down the road? What does it mean to others? And we want to be very slow and cautious and full of wisdom in those things, because wisdom sees further. But secondly, we see that wisdom thinks deeper. Look at verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For he that is at the end of all men and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Now, these are weird verses. Solomon, under the inspiration of the Spirit, seems to be going against everything that we would think or feel. He's saying that mourning is better than feasting. He's talking about sorrow is better than laughter. He's saying to be rebuked is better than participating in a beautiful song. And we hear these things at face value, and it's like Solomon is making it sound like being discomforted is more comfortable than comfort. He's saying unhappiness is happier than happiness. What is he talking about? What does this mean? What is he getting to? And the key to this whole passage is the phrase in the latter part of verse number 3 where he says, where the heart is made better. And Solomon is not saying that he's against laughing or rejoicing or celebrating or enjoying. He's simply saying that what feels better is not always what makes us better. And wisdom thinks deeper. Now, stop and think about a time in your life where God brought great growth. God gave you great insight. God stretched your faith a bit. And God just brought about a great season of growth in your life. Stop and think about that for a moment. Most often that season is associated with some kind of a trial. Something not going the way you desire, some valley in your life. For in that moment, the Lord uses that to realign your focus on Him and what truly is important, and usually the sum of that brings about a season of great growth, great dependence on Him, and great pursuit of His direction in your life. And that's exactly what Solomon is saying here, that listen, when you and I have wisdom, and when you and I understand what God is doing, then we trust Him. But without God, when hardship comes into our life, it brings bitterness in our heart. Because we don't understand it, we don't like it, it's not what we would have chosen, and so we rebel against it. But when we have God, when we have wisdom, then hardships in life shape us into the grace of God. They grow us, they stretch us, they strengthen us like nothing else ever could or ever would. And so Solomon is saying that wisdom is great because it thinks deeper. It's not shaking its fist at God when life doesn't go our way. It's trusting God, and it's allowing God through that time of trial and testing to strengthen us, to stretch us, to prepare us for what He has in our future for Him. Matthew Henry said, that is best for us, which is best for our souls, by which the heart is made better, though it be unpleasing to sense. Listen, none of us like going to the dentist. None of us like some things in life that are needful for our own benefit. And so it is with God's wisdom that sometimes God is going to allow some things into our life that maybe are mourning, maybe are difficult, maybe are discouraging, but God has a plan. And if we trust in Him through wisdom, we think a little deeper and we benefit from that. And so Solomon says, listen, there's great wisdom in thinking deeper. He talks about valuing rebuke. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. But Solomon talks here about, listen, if you have a friend that's willing to hurt you, speak the truth in love to you, challenge you with what's really going on, you're blessed. He talked about how better to hear that than the crackling of the branch under the pot, the fool's song, the fool's wisdom. It's like that wood in the fire. It's not going to last very long. But if you have someone in your life that's willing to speak to you honestly, value that. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:8, open rebuke is better than secret love. And class, can I challenge us? Let's make sure all of us in our life have somebody who can speak the truth and love to us. Class, let's make sure we have people in our life that are older than us and more wiser than we are that we're listening to. It's very important that we think deeper. That we're not swayed back and forth so easily, but we're thinking deeper because of the wisdom of God, and we're seeking that from others as well. But then notice, thirdly, that wisdom waits longer. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, What is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So Solomon is saying, listen, you want God's wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is patient. Wisdom does not just explode onto the scene. Wisdom takes time to exhale and to patiently navigate through a situation. Solomon talks about the benefit of not just rushing to anger. So we want to learn from Solomon, how do we live the simple life? And that's to value wisdom. And when we value wisdom, we understand wisdom is patient. It's not flying off the handle. It's not responding just off the cuff to everything and speaking our mind to everyone. It's just being patient, navigating through things, producing some endurance and restraint. Understand sometimes it's better to respond than to react. It's wise to consider the outcome and not just my opinion. It's an understanding that I can be wrong. I can misread a situation. I can be raw in my emotions and want to respond in a certain way that may not help at all. The Bible says, where there's no wood, the fire goeth out. Sometimes we feel like, yeah, but my side has to be heard. I need to speak into this. And in reality, sometimes we don't. The best thing sometimes is not to do anything at all. The Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind. The Bible says it's very foolish when we live by the principle that everything we feel we have to say. That's not the way we should live. In fact, sometimes the things we're feeling never should be said because they're not helpful. They're not going to help the situation. They're not going to bring a restoration to it. And so what do we learn from wisdom? To wait a little longer, to be patient, to let God work. And God may have you say something. God may have you intervene. God may have you participate. God may not have you do anything at all. But wait a little longer. Don't be so hasty to anger and to response. Then we see number four, that wisdom surrenders sooner. It surrenders sooner. Look at verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Now, what is Solomon saying? Solomon is saying, listen, God is going to do his business his way. We just have to trust him. God decides what is straight and what is crooked. And once that decision is made, there's nothing we can do about it. And sometimes as we live this life, we don't understand God's ways, but we need to trust him. Solomon says, I've seen a lot of good men die too soon. I've seen some evil men live too long. Why is that? I don't know. Under the sun, it makes no sense. But above the sun, I can believe in God and his wisdom and know that he has a purpose in it all. And when you and I have a lack of answers in life, it drives you and I to the one with all the answers. And sometimes God doesn't share every answer, but we can trust the fact that he has it. And the fact that he has it is enough. And so we may be going through something and we're looking to God. We want answers. And God has them, but he may not share them. But the very fact that he has them is enough. May you and I trust him. And wisdom surrenders sooner. It surrenders to the lordship and to the authority of God. It recognizes the providence of God. And the point here is that wisdom compels you and I to cooperate with God and not contend with him. Class, it will be a very exhausting, futile experience to try to continually contend with God. None of us are going to contend with God successfully. So may you and I come to a place, as Solomon did at the latter part of his life, looking back, saying, I just need to trust God. Because sometimes I'm going to want something to be a certain way, and it's not. but I just need to trust him and surrender to his authority in my life and not be in contention with him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. But then number five, we see that wisdom lives simpler. Be not righteous over much in verse 16. Neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. You know what Solomon is saying? Be careful. Be careful of yourself. Sometimes we overestimate ourselves, our ability, our wisdom, our limits, our capabilities. Have not we all seen someone kind of self-destruct because they just continued to take stuff on and feel like they could handle it when indeed they could not? And ultimately, they took God's place in their own life and said, God, I can handle it. I can go it alone. And it really reverses the role. People want God to be dependent upon them, but God made you and I to be dependent upon him. And we have to be okay with that. We have to recognize at the end of the day, God made me. God has a plan and purpose for my life, and I will never fully accomplish it without him. So I can live every day recognizing I need God, and I can find my identity and position in him, and then I can strive to accomplish what God created me to do and be who God created me to be, or I can be in contention with him, and I can try to handle all of these things on my own, but it's not going to work. It never will. God did not design it that way. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God says, my strength, who I am, is magnified and broadcasted in weakness of people. Sometimes we don't want people to know our weaknesses. We want everybody to see us and feel like everything's okay. That's not attractive to God. But our weaknesses, that's attractive to God. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And these verses point out that if you and I are not careful, we can destroy ourselves with all the good things that we're doing. And so we need to understand we need God's wisdom. We need that applied to our life. We need to surrender to him in every area of our life, allowing him to be Lord and allowing him to direct. Why? Because God does not demand of anyone in this room an outrageous personal performance. In other words, God's not looking for you and I to be so driven and so ambitious and to accomplish all of these things for his acceptance. That's not God's plan for us. But by the way, God is not also condoning an abandonment of performance. God doesn't want you and I just sitting around waiting him for him to do everything. So what is God saying here when it comes to wisdom? God is giving you and I a permission to live a balanced life, to walk with him, to trust him, to let him direct, and to accomplish what he created us to do. And we've got to be weary of the overperformance-driven life where there's no time for God because we've taken life into our own hands. But we have to be weary of the underperformance, abandonment of performance life, where we do nothing. There's balance, and we've got to seek God in wisdom for balance. The Bible says in Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. And so wisdom helps you and I to live the simple life. But then we see number six, that wisdom forgives faster. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise, we read. Verse 20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou fear thy servant, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hath cursed others. Solomon says wisdom forgives faster. Wisdom figures out, I need forgiveness, so I'm going to give forgiveness. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Now, we are all exceptional sinners in this room. Every one of us have done wrong in the eyes of the Lord, which means we must all learn to be exceptional forgivers. You and I will regret at the end of our life every time we withheld forgiveness from somebody else. So may you and I take wisdom this morning and say, I want to be quick to forgive. I want to be quick to give others what I needed. Wisdom refuses to be weighed down with this person said this to me, and this person did this to me, and this person, you know, was unfair or unkind or whatever the case may be. Wisdom helps you and I to let it go and move on. Wisdom forgives faster. It understands God is constantly forgiving me. I am going to forgive others, and I'm going to move on. I'm not going to let my life get bogged down with everything that everybody has ever done to me. I'm just going to ask God to give me wisdom and to understand what I am forgiving people for, God has forgiven me. So Lord, help me to have wisdom and continue on in the life you've given. Number seven, wisdom exceeds measure. Verse 23, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Here Solomon was trying to explain the vastness of wisdom and really comes up short of words. He said, it was far from me. Wisdom is infinite. All of God's wisdom, it was hard for me to even understand. And the wisdom of God cannot be contained, but it can be obtained. And so may you and I, as James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Class, may you and I every day, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom in my marriage. Give me wisdom in my family. Give me wisdom in the workplace. Give me wisdom in every decision that I'm going to make. God, I need you, and I need your wisdom. And then wisdom graces fewer. Number eight, wisdom graces fewer. Verse 27, behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. You know, Solomon goes through Chapter 7, and an emphasis on wisdom. His final observation is that people with wisdom are very rare. In fact, he says, you know what I found out? It was about 1 in 1,000. 1 in 1,000 had and applied the wisdom of God. He said, most men forsook the wisdom of God for expedience. They did not want to pay the price to know and apply the wisdom of God in their life. They just wanted the convenience of life as it should be lived today. In class, if you and I are going to learn from Solomon to value wisdom, then we are going to have the courage to get into the Word of God and to discover what is God's wisdom, and then to understand it and then apply it to our life. And when we do that, it's going to expose some weaknesses that we have, some shortcomings, and some things that we should do differently. But if we're willing to seek that wisdom and to apply it to our life, you know what it will help us do? Clarify our priorities. What is truly important according to God in my life? It will help to stabilize our heart. I don't have to fix this or worry about this person or do this or do that. I just need to be where God has me. And it sustains my pace. It helps me to live the balanced life. So if I value wisdom, if I seek wisdom, and if I apply wisdom to my life, it will indeed help me to live the simple life. So can I encourage you to make decision six and to devalue wisdom, to seek God's good sense, and to ask the Lord to help you daily, to seek and to choose His wisdom, that you might have the ability to see the way He sees it, so that the decisions you're making regarding the circumstances of your life are the decision that He wants you to make. And may you and I value wisdom. Everyone in this room is dealing with a situation in their life or their relationships where you need the wisdom of God. And Solomon said, what I needed more in my life was valuing wisdom. Where I got off track and made regrets was when I no longer valued wisdom as I should. And Solomon in his old age is saying, stop. Lean not to known understanding. Don't seek convenience and comfort and the immediate. Find the wisdom of God and apply it. And may you and I study these eight characteristics of that kind of wisdom and say, God, may that be evident in me because of you. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Help us, Lord, to embrace the teachings of biblical wisdom and then to seek to understand your mind as we spend time in your word. And then help us, Lord, to take what we're learning and to apply it to our life. And may this week we value wisdom, and may through your wisdom we see some breakthroughs in our life and relationships. And we promise for this to praise and to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.